Welcome to the podcast for Scotty's Blog. I'm your host, Scott Ewart. With me on the show today is candidate for the Howard County Board of Education in District 5 in 2020, Dr. Seth Raymond. Dr. Raymond, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Wonderful. Why don't you take a couple of minutes, let the listeners know a little bit about you, your background, and why you're running for Board of Education in 2020.
Sure. So as you know that I actually ran in 2018 as well. And pretty much it's the same situation and the same reasons that I jumped in last time, which is I have three little kids. By the time the next board takes, starts in January of 2021, I think, I'm going to have a kid in high school, middle school, and elementary school. So to me, pretty much, I mean, you know, my interest kind of peaked with my kids growing up and stuff. I started getting involved in the PTAs and then some of the other things. And then previously we had similar issues with the redistricting, that there was a lot of noise, a lot of issues, a lot of, community that got activated and got engaged. And that's when I got engaged. And what I saw was a few things. What I saw was that, we have board of seven, elected members, but pretty much I did not see the subject matter expertise. I saw lack of leadership at the board level with the school system that we have now. We have almost, 77 schools, $1 billion budget, almost 8,600 folks that are working for the school system. And the only employee of the board that is pretty much is a person that is responsible for the operational side of the game. I did not see any kind of a leadership or the subject matter expertise to delegate the authority that the way it should be delegated to their only employee to ensure that things are done properly. And at that time, my kid was still, I think it was kindergarten or pre-K at the time, the last kid. So I still had, and I still have, almost 12 years to go in the school system. And I pretty much, I'm a first generation immigrant. I came to this country almost 35 years ago. I completed my bachelor's, master's, and PhD over here. And I saw firsthand, because I came from a very poor family, I saw the firsthand result of that, I'm able to talk to you today where I'm sitting today because of the education that I received. And so I'm pretty serious about ensuring that my kids get the best opportunity possible. And that's one of the reasons that we moved over here in Howard County to ensure that the kids gets the best opportunity by the time they get out of the school system, whatever they want to do for the future. So, after completing my education, I've been working almost 30 years professionally, 15 years running my own company. And my degrees and my career is pretty much in the information technology field. So what I saw and what I kind of felt that with the position that I was in, running my own business, with the education issues that were, going on with the school system, with the age group that I had with the kids that were in the school system for me and the time frame, I did not see that we're gonna have the same school system by the time my last kid gets out. So I pretty much jumped in saying, okay, I'm able to give the time. I do have the ability, a lot of parents in this county, we have the most educated county. But not every parent is in a situation where they can, kind of give their time with the jobs that they do. But I was in a situation, I was, I guess, fortunate enough to do that. That's pretty much why I jumped in. And same reason in 2018, and similar and same reasons in 2020, where I see that the board that we elected back in 2018 did not do the job that they were elected to do, were not qualified enough to ensure that we were able to change the previous rubber stamping or the day-to-day, whatever was going on. And that's why I'm in to make a difference, because I do bring certain skill sets with the 30 year or so experience that I have which are sorely needed, from the executive leadership to budgeting, procurement. This is what I bring to the board when I'm elected to the board.
Okay, thank you for that. We're going to hop in to my favorite part, the question segment of the show.
All right.
I have some good ones, I hope. Okay. Some are a little different than questions I've asked other past candidates. Some are the same, but here's the first one.
Sure.
I can't start the question and answer segment without talking about the schools being closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. Howard County Public School System announced our continuity of learning plan yesterday afternoon. Now, you haven't probably had a ton of time to look into it, but my assumption is you've probably seen it. I'm curious what your thoughts on what they announced to the public about their three-phased plan is.
Well, I actually did not look at that yet. So okay. I'm not sure exactly what three phases are we talking about because of some of the things going on at the house level right now.
Okay.
But overall.
Then we'll back up.
Okay.
Outside of that, how do you think the Howard County Public School System and the current Board of Education has handled communication and just the world that we live in since the schools were shut down a couple of weeks ago?
So I would have given, our school system an F, but I kind of did, some research, and now we're kind of aware of a lot more information that is out there. So let me kind of back up and give you, where I'm coming from for the grades that I'm going to be giving. As education, like you said, I've gone through my, bachelor's, master's, and PhD over here. And my PhD was a combination of virtual / on-site as well. So at the college level, at the university level, we have already started doing and taking care of some of the aspects because we know that a lot of people that continue the education past the high school are not able to fulfill, the requirement of being at the campus 24/7. So we do have system in place. We do have platforms in place where you can do virtual learning. I was going to give a F before until I saw that system as a whole. When I talk system as a whole, I'm talking about the country as a whole for the school system is not there where we are at, past the high school level. So coming to local side with the 24 counties in Maryland, now kind of we're in the wait and see approach. This is kind of unprecedented time. We have not gone through this before, 100 years or so, maybe a similar kind of a situation. So I can understand as far as we were not aware of where we were going to be a week or 2 weeks from now. But since then, we know where we are going to be based on the data that we have from various different countries and how this particular virus is behaving. So coming to locally now, we should have been preparing all along. Yesterday's superintendent, the Maryland superintendent, mentioned that specifically, that there's going to be some online version coming statewide. But she also mentioned that it's going to be a base that's coming from the state level. And then it's up to each county to do whatever else they're capable of or they want to do instruction-wise. So coming to Howard County, based on what I've seen so far, based on some of the information that I'm seeing that's coming out, I do not think that we were prepared. We are prepared, and we are going to be prepared. Whatever it's going to be, 4 weeks or closing throughout the rest of the year, what we should have done as a leader, within the state and within the country as well, because we tout ourselves as being one of the most, educated county, as most, best school system in the country and stuff. But we should be leading. We should not be, waiting and seeing who's the leader and what kind of things that we need to kind of focus on or adapt. So as one of the leaders in the country, we should have been more prepared to ensure that we have taken care of all the levels from kindergarten all the way to high school, especially when there are platforms out there, when there are so many resources out there, and compared to, you know, Howard County, the other 23 counties who are not getting as much per student spent as us is doing more than us.
Great, thanks for that. All right, second question. Everybody loves me to ask about redistricting.
Okay.
So here's my specific question to you on that topic.
Sure.
On your website, you note, use redistricting as a last resort. Work right now to plan for the future of our schools and the integrity of our communities. Can you explain that a little bit further in detail about what that means?
Well, we, as you know, because you are much more involved and much longer involved than I, we did not get to this stage, you know, just in a year or last year or a year or two ago, right? So there obviously has been certain decisions or indecisions that got us to this position. There's a combination of things that are in play when it comes to the issues that we are having, as far as how we are getting crowded in certain areas, in certain schools, in certain neighborhoods. So basically what I mean by that is, you know, we need to kind of look at a holistic approach towards redistricting. Even if you say, I think you asked one of the candidates a question about, you know, redistricting and how you're going to tackle that and stuff. Even if we try to tackle the redistricting today or next year or whatever, we're still doing that as a short-term approach. So you got to look at that as a holistic approach. You should never get into redistricting, first of all, if as a community, not as just a Board of Education member, if you would have taken a holistic approach as a community, you know, if you would have looked at, because we as Board of Education get the feasibility study done on a yearly basis now, which provides you the forecast and stuff, you know, so you know there's certain number of kids that are getting added on a yearly basis, maybe 700 or 1,000, whatever the number is. So how are you kind of ensuring not only that you're working towards a future goal, which is if it's a new school, if it's at a certain location, or if it's a issue of that you have capacity and you have to redistrict, what approach are you taking? We do not have a defined process that we go after when we redistrict. So I'm looking at if and when a situation like that occurs, you know, because it's going to occur. Maybe a new school or expanded school, or, you know, you haven't taken care of your the additions that you keep adding in certain areas and stuff. Have some kind of a feeder system in place, right? So as a parent, when you come in and your kid starts in pre-K, from the very first day of your pre-K to the last day of your high school, you should know as a parent, as a student, where your kid's gonna end up. It's gonna be either, you know, school A or school B, based on your neighborhood feeder model. You should never be thrown into, you know, school C, D, E, whatever, you know, location-wise, just to meet whatever criteria you're trying to meet. So I'm not gonna go there, but you know what I'm talking about. So that's pretty much what I'm saying, that, you know, you should be looking that as a long-term approach, and you should be working with maybe the county exec, maybe the council, you know, because they hold the purse, they hold the, or they have the duplicate hat where they're, you know, changing the hat to a zoning and stuff and pushing the folks where we end up, you know, expanding the population and stuff. And then we start having the issues. So it's a more of a holistic approach. I very much believe in that African-American or African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. So if we need to do things, you know, maybe redistricting or anything else for the kids better being, you should all be working together towards that goal.
All righty. One final question for you.
Sure.
School start times is a popular topic. I'm curious about your thoughts on this topic. You know, do you believe the school system should look into starting school later, particularly for high school kids? And if so, if you do believe that, how do we get the money to make that happen? Because we've been told, you know, in the last couple of years, it is a very expensive thing to do. So just what are your general thoughts?
So I actually talked a lot about that in the last election. So you may know that, I mean, I'm pretty much, personally, I'm in favor of that because there's a lot of studies out there that, you know, explains the benefits of changing, especially at the teenage years, to later school start times. And there are jurisdictions that have done that successfully. So I'm, you know, I'm sad that you're not going to be asking me the question about budgeting and stuff, because that's my expertise and that's what I bring to the board, you know.
No, but I like to mix things up every
now. So basically, you know, to answer your question on this particular topic about the money aspect of it, I personally, for the last, you know, number of years that I've been engaged and involved and looking at the board, I do not trust the numbers that are being thrown at various you know, issues, may it be the budgeting, may it be the need for specific things, because I think I saw $6 million or something for that thing to happen, whereas now we're talking about moving almost 5,400 kids, and we're only talking about a few hundred thousand dollars, like 400,000 or whatever the case may be, you know, 400 to 2 million. So my take is, I am the budgeting guy, I'm the procurement guy. You look the $964 million budget that you're, you know, trying to get passed, you will find a lot of things within to come up with the, you know, the money that you need for the various needs, not only for the later school start times, but a lot of different things. There's a lot more things that are more important right now, you know, from the class sizes, from the safety, from other things in place, from the special education, you know, staffing and stuff. We need to start looking at our budget. We need to start looking at our procurement practices. We need to come up with processes, define processes or create processes, transparent processes, and you're going to start seeing that we're going to come up with the money that we need within, and then work with, you know, start thinking out of the box. There's a lot of things that you can do, from the grants to the collaborations to the partnerships and stuff, to fulfill once you have defined exactly what is your, you know, needs, and then what needs to be fulfilled, you know, one versus, you know, first versus the second. So that's where I stand. I mean, if that is what the community wants, because community needs to say, this is what we want. And if that's what the community wants, the Board of Education should be able to, and we can find the resources that we need within the budget that we have.
I know that there are a lot in the community that are very passionate about this specific issue about school start times. I see it on social media. I see them at meetings. I've talked to them.
Exactly.
And as someone that not all that long ago had a kid in high school in Howard County Public School System and saw how early she had to catch the bus in the morning, you know, at 5:30, 6 a.m. in the winter when it's pitch black dark, I was totally on board with the whole find a way to start school later, because 15-year-old, 14-year-old kid should not be outside at 6 a.m. when it's pitch black in 20-degree weather in the winter. That's me. That's my thing.
Exactly what I'm
doing. And I know that there are many in the community that feel exactly the same way.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly what I'm going through, right? So I have two kids that are in the middle school right now. And the, like you said, then he's going to start high school next year. But my daughter's going to be in the middle. And I see in the wintertime, it's dark. And, you know, there are areas within the county community over here where you don't want the kids standing at a bus station at that time of the day.
Right.
So yes, I mean, there's a lot of different variables that we should be looking at. And collectively, if the community wants this, Board of Ed should be able to come up with the resources that are needed.
Great. All right, look, You survived.
Okay.
You made it through all three of my questions. Good job. Look, is there any final information you would like the listeners to know, just any final information you'd like to share with the listeners today?
Okay, so I guess that's where I can make up the some of the things that are not ice. But before I do that, I mean, you know, like I said, we are going through the unprecedented times where we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring and how we're going to, you know, do one day after the other, but we're going to survive. You know, I'm a half full kind of a guy. As a human race, we have gone through worse situations and we will survive this. So there is going to be a tomorrow. And get back to schools. We are going to be getting back to work and everything's going to be, you know, back to normal. So for that, we need to make sure we are, and there's going to be an election on June 2nd. And we're going to be electing, you know, at least four, if not five new board members, or maybe three or whatever the number is, based on the incumbents that are out there. So the new board's going to be taking over in 2021. And we need to make sure that we are, I mean, you know, going through and electing the members that are going to be able to make a difference. All the things that we are discussing, that needs certain kind of subject matter expertise. That needs leadership skill set. That needs the budgeting and procurement experience to work within the budget set that you have, or, you know, bring the other resources that are needed. What I've seen, like I said, when I jumped in, what I saw is one of the issue that we keep doing is we keep electing same or similar type of resources that do not bring the subject matter expertise that are needed now. We're no longer a 20-year-old school, you know, 20-year-ago school system. $1 billion budget with, you know, 59,000 kids, 8,600 staff, and the biggest employer in the county. That's a medium-sized firm. So you need, among the seven board members, you need, you know, different kind of skill sets to ensure that you are delegating the right type of skill sets and authority to your only employee at the board level, at the superintendent level. I bring 30 years of experience, professional experience. I'm working for the last, you know, 15, 16 years with my own company, which deals primarily with the federal, state, and local agencies at all levels. And I think with the skill set I bring, I could be a valuable one of the board members, you know, at the board level. So I hope that whatever way we end up voting on June 2nd, because discussions are mail-in only or only one center per county and stuff like that, that everybody still goes out and vote. Everybody, doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, or whatever else, Green Party and stuff, everybody can vote for Board of Education candidate. And we have seen from the recent discussions that the lower that you are at ballot on the ballot box or the ballot, the more, the more, I mean, you are able to make a difference at the county level, because, you know, you're dealing at the board of education level, you're dealing with the kids, you're dealing with the community. So you need to make sure that we are electing the right people that are able to make a difference come January 2021.
Well, great. Thank you for being on the show today. And I wish you a lot of luck in the upcoming primary.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Okay, a couple final notes for listeners. As Dr. Raymond mentioned, the primary election date for Board of Education has been moved back to June 2nd because of the coronavirus outbreak. Complete details have not been released and probably won't for some time, but I will continue to report out when it does on the blog. I did hear something yesterday that they're considering a mail-in only election for June 2nd. I know the State Board of Elections discussed it. The governor would have to sign off on that, and he may do so early next month. If that happens one way or the other, I will be sure to report out for you. And finally, you know, during this coronavirus outbreak, please take the governor's advice. Only go out and about when you absolutely have to. Practice social distancing. Keep yourself, your family, and the community safe. That's it, folks. That's all I have today for you. This is Scotty signing off.